Well, hello. Welcome to the Let's Get Loud podcast. This is a solo podcast episode with A. How are you guys? I haven't really talked to you in 2 weeks. I mean, I did have a solo podcast episode, but I recorded it before I left. So it has been 2 weeks? 2 weeks-ish. I think I probably recorded right before I left for Mexico. So I guess I have been back for almost a week now, which is crazy. Holy moly, did we ever have a great time? Neil and I have been, we actually got married at all on all inclusive, fun fact. But I hadn't been back since my wedding, which was many moons ago, 14 years ago. Oh, so old. And it was incredible to bring the kids. It really was an amazing vacation. I really felt on vacation. Don't get me wrong, Disney was great, but I still felt very on at Disney, you know, waking up, booking the lightning lanes. We had booked a house, so I was still thinking about cooking and cleaning. I think next time we do Disney, I would try it on resort, like I would do like a hotel room on Disney and not rent a car and just kind of do it that way. Anyways, so that's what we did. And it was amazing. I drank margaritas and ate as many tacos as humanly possible for the whole week. And it was beautiful. And I disconnected and spent time with my family. It was perfect. It really was perfect. Paradise. So beautiful. Like every day, you just wake up and it's blue sky and warm and sunny. Honestly, the only problem was that it was a little too sunny. It's like I underestimated what it would be like for the kids to be outside in the sun for every day, all day. And my only thing that I didn't bring that I wish I would have brought was a sun shirt, a long sleeve sun shirt for all of them. They all did have a sun shirt, and by the end of the week, they were all wearing sun shirts full time. I had actually almost like at the last minute thrown them in there for Alfie. I was grateful that I had them. I probably would have ended up buying them, to be honest. So if you're going to Mexico, bring your kids a sun shirt and full brimmed hats as well. That was huge. Because even though you're reapplying sunscreen every couple hours, the sun is just so hot. And I found that like the kid, they were like playing and having fun. I was like, oh, do we need to like stop them, dry them off, put sunscreen on? I mean, I did, but it the sunscreen battle was a real battle. Anyways, it was beautiful. But now I'm back, ready to go. I already want to book our trip for next year. I think that would be, and it's an amazing thing to look forward to as a family and an amazing break away from the winter weather. And now it feels like spring. Spring is in the air. So we have officially made it. Okay, everyone, I actually want to talk today about binging. So this has been something that's come up quite often within our membership, and I have members asking about binging. So I just wanted to do a quick little episode on my experience with binging and my end, leave you with some advice. So thing number one, I want to share a little bit of my experience with you guys. So I was someone who only really I've had these realizations really in the last couple of years with my new perspective and new relationship with food. But when I really look back, I realized that I really did have a quite a strained relationship with food. And there was evidence of me having that relationship with food from a really young age. Like I can remember babysitting at 12 and obsessing over what the people that I was babysitting for had in the pantry. And I remember, you know, taking my dad's change and sneaking to the store and buying a chocolate bar and like, yuck, you know? So I remember doing that. So I was like hiding food from a very young age. Now I never struggled with my weight until I went to university, but I struggled with my relationship with food my entire life. So when I did get to university, I had freedom. I had a car, I had money, and that's when I really found myself binging. And, you know, that's not something fun to admit. That's not fun, something fun to say out loud, but I think it's so important. And I don't want to like, let's normalize binging. That's not what I'm here for. But I do think that it needs to be spoken about more often because there's so much shame and guilt. And I think many women believe that when they are eating like that in secret, that they are alone and that others don't struggle with that. And that's just not the case. And the more that we can talk about things together, and we can share and we can share with each other resources and mental strategies to overcome it, the better. So that's really what where I'm coming from for the from this for this podcast. Well, so I can remember in university going to McDonald's and getting, a lot of food and sitting in my car and eating it in secret. I can remember going to Tim Hortons and getting a significant amount of donuts and eating them in secret, and just really that loss of control around food. And then as I progressed, and I was like a mom and living in my own home, those binging tendencies were still there, but they were with like peanut butter and chocolate chips. And it took a really, really, really long time to get somewhere with my binging. And so I just kind of wanted to share with you guys before I get into my advice and before I really talk about binging, I want you to know that this comes from a place of someone who struggled with binge eating for a very long time. And I don't want to say like I'm cured, I don't binge anymore, because I think I probably still have episodes where someone would define as binging, but it doesn't affect my life anymore. And I'm able to maintain a healthy weight. And there are so few and far between that they're not even worth mentioning, but I just don't think it's worth saying I'm cured or I'll never binge again. It's just I've made so I think here's what I want to say. I've changed my relationship with food and it no longer consumes me. And so that's really what's more important than anything. So when I really look back and I'd say, what caused my binging? Like where did this come from? Where did this behavior stem from? And I think a big piece was that I was in that diet restrict cycle and I would over restrict all week long, and then I would binge on the weekends. And it was so innate for me to binge, aka a cheat day, which is so, I get passionate about people being taught to lose weight in a way that includes a cheat day, a cheat meal, for so many reasons. But it's essentially glamorizing binging, it's permission binging. And it's just been normalized in our society for so long. It upsets me. And it had become such a normal behavior for me that I think even when I wasn't binging, when I wasn't dieting, I was still binging. It was like that behavior still existed for me. And it really started when I was feeling over restricted. And then I would binge. And that would be like my escape. That would be like my reward. Well, then I created like this behavior, this link that when I needed an escape for something, I was looking for a reward, it would be from food. And that connection was not serving me. So I personally believe a big piece of my binging was from my restricting, from my dieting. And if you're listening to this and weight loss is a goal of yours, and now listen, if you're listening to this and the thought of binging is you can't even comprehend it, you don't understand it. Amazing. That means you have a relationship with food, a good relationship with food. Or not necessarily. I don't want to label that. It just means you've never experienced this. But I think many of you probably have. And that's why I'm talking about it today. So I do think it stemmed from, extreme restricting. I think it stemmed from me food labeling and considering certain foods bad and off limits. And that was the conversation I was having with myself. So if you are listening to this podcast, and if you are someone that identifies as someone that struggles with binge eating, now here's the thing as well. Man, I have a lot to say about this topic. It's all going to come together, guys. It always does. I don't love when people label themselves. I don't love it when people say, I'm a binge eater. I think labeling is dangerous. And I think that becomes a part of your identity. And it might seem trivial, but it's not. Don't label yourself as a binge eater. Say, I have episodes where I binge, where I consume a lot of energy in a short period of time. But don't label yourself a binge eater. Don't label yourself lazy. Don't label yourself. We give ourselves these so many labels, and it's like this self-fulfilling prophecy. Do not label yourself that. Okay, so here's the thing. I hear so many, weight loss influencers, coaches, bodybuilders, whatever in this world, giving advice on like how many grams of protein and burp, 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 burp. And to me, it's just like, whoa. I get really upset because that's the advice for the person that does not have a strained relationship with food. That's the advice for the person that has nailed the essentials and is looking to get the nitty-gritties. I want you guys to picture your weight loss journey as like this big wall, and there's boulders in your wall, and there's rocks, and then there's pebbles, and they make this massive wall. When you're worrying about how many grams of protein you're consuming, and yet you're binging all weekend, you know what you're doing to your wall? You're taking one pebble away at a time. You're never going to move the wall. You're never going to break down that wall at that rate. And if anything, you're just going to perpetuate that cycle. If you are someone that's struggling with binge eating and yet you're just going on the next diet, you are not only not going to fix the actual problem, you're going to make it worse. You are literally blowing on a broken leg. It is not going to work. You are not going to fix it. You are going to make it worse. And so I just really want to encourage you guys to really focus on the big stuff. Let's not get distracted by the shiny things like the amount of fiber and the amount of protein and the perfect workout and the beep, 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 beep. Guys, if you're struggling with binge eating, that is massive. And here's the thing, it's not sexy to work on your relationship with food because what's the result there? You can't see the result. Well, the result is actual freedom. You see, I struggled with my weight as an adult for so long, and I kept attacking the fat on my body, but the fat on my body was never the problem. It was actually my relationship with food. And it wasn't until I started attacking my relationship with food that I started taking weight off my body in a way that it was actually going to stay off. And so we need to make sure we're attacking the right problem, and we're going here, okay? So I just wanted to like really remind you guys to just try not to get so distracted by the little things, the 5%ers. Like, does the amount of grams of protein, does eating more protein, could that change, how much weight you lose this week? Sure. Okay. But you're probably not at that point where that's where you need to be. That's like the last like 5%. We're like, we're sleeping, our nutrition, we're moving our body, we're drinking our water. We have all these amazing habits in place. And then we can talk about all the other things. But let's really think about the big things. And for many of you, binging is a massive thing. And I believe that probably most people that struggle with periods of time where they are eating excessive amounts of calories don't want that. You don't want that to be their habit. One second, everyone. Just recording a podcast. Neil's home from work. It's literally Friday at 3:34, and I'm going to publish this at 3:37. Okay, so I want you guys to take a real honest look, and I want you to ask yourself, how is my relationship with food? Is that what I need to be working on more than the next diet? All right, so advice. Here's my advice for you. Number one, if you are someone that struggles with binging, what are your triggers? Is it an emotion? Is it a certain time of day? Is it a specific food? What are your triggers? If you can reduce your triggers, you can reduce your behavior. Now, I didn't say eliminate. Nothing is perfect, but identifying what your triggers are to binging are huge. Were you hangry? How can we prevent hanger? Were you really stressed at work? What else can we work on to help with that stress? Is it because it's midnight? Go to bed. So what are your triggers? Reduce your triggers, reduce your behaviors. My next thing is thoughts. The why you're binging is in your thoughts. It's in your thoughts. It's there. So I'll give you some examples of some of the things that my brain was telling me before I binged. This will be the last time. Just eat it all so there's none in the house tomorrow. It won't affect your progress. You can have just one. These are all the things that my brain would tell me that were convincing me that were the next step to my binge. Okay. Binging doesn't just like happen like that, even though it feels like it does sometimes. There's thoughts, there's steps. You need to catch yourself. You need to catch that thought and you need to reframe that thought. So when your brain goes, oh, it's fine, you can have just one, but you know darn well the last time you had just one, it turned into 12. You pause and you have that conversation with yourself. The next time that you say, I'll just finish the bags, there's none in the house on Monday, you pause and you say, this stuff that doesn't work. There's always more. I've been starting on Monday for the last 20 years. I'm done starting on Monday. You're gonna have to reframe those thoughts. And the best way to do it is not in the moment. It's to connect the thoughts and then actually identify them. And then later, when you're not in the moment, when you're like sitting and reflecting and thinking, and then you can really share them. Okay. Ending food labeling. So we're going to identify our triggers and we're going to reduce our triggers. We're going to identify our thoughts and we're going to reframe our thoughts. And we're going to stop calling food bad. We're going to stop calling food junk. You guys, that is setting morality attached to food. When you feel guilty for eating the food, you are someone that numbs your feelings with more food, and you feel guilt from the food, and you numb it with more food, and the cycle continues. I cannot express to you guys enough how important it is that you stop using the words bad and junk, fattening. I shouldn't have that. That is language that is damaging to your relationship with food. You know, we always talk about how important our relationships are with our kids. How do you think how you speak to your kids matters? I think everyone's saying yes. Well, the same thing is with food. Your relationship with food, how you speak about food, impacts your relationship with food. Okay, next up, water. It's like the simplest thing. There's going to be no miracles, but when you are hydrated, you are less hungry, you have less cravings, and you're less likely to binge. Drink your water. That's a simple one. The last thing, if you are someone that struggles with binge eating, don't you even think about trying intermittent fasting. That is just going to be so triggering for you. Don't skip meals. When I was first starting to heal my relationship with food, I actually had like six small meals a day. It really set me up for success. It really reminded me that, like, oh, the next meal's coming, the next meal's coming. And I had to really remind myself of that because I had finally started my journey from a place of such abundance and not just like, oh, we're going to starve. And it was like I had to remind myself, oh, no, we're not doing that anymore. And I had to convince my body that it could get more food and it was going to be nourished again and to calm down. Okay. And listen, this won't be perfect. You're not going to listen to this podcast. This podcast is not going to cure you, but you can cure you. You can change your life. I'd love to help you be a part of it. I'm so passionate about helping other women live their actual full lives. And I'll tell you that when I was really dealing with binging, it wasn't the excess fat on my body that was holding me back. It was what was going on in my brain and the amount of noise that it was taking up and the amount of space and just all of that. That was holding me back. So was the weight on my body, but so was what was going on in my brain. And so I would love to help you with that. Send me a DM anytime, and I'd love to help you get started. So this won't be perfect. This won't be this won't be the last day that you binge. But what's going to happen when you start really working on this is your binges will become less frequent. They will become less intense. And before you know it, you'll have a behavior, and I'll give you an example. I used to do a lot of binge eating in my car. I would go to the dollar store and I would buy multiple chocolate bars and I would sit in my car and eat chocolate bars until I felt sick. And it was, you know, a couple of years ago now where I had a moment where I went to the dollar store and I left and I realized that not only did I not buy the chocolate bars and I didn't binge, but I didn't even think about buying the chocolate bars and binge. And it was like the steps. It was like step one for me was like actually going to the dollar store, buying stuff and not binging, but obsessively thinking of it. And then the next step was like not even thinking about it anymore. And I can't tell you the date in which that switch flicked, but it did. And because I committed to working on this no matter what and overcoming this no matter what, I did it. And that's all it took. All it took was me to stay committed to this and to figure this out and to heal my relationship with food, not be as thin as possible. Are you hearing me? Thinness is not bringing you happiness. Being you, being happy, being content, being fulfilled, that is what is going to bring you happiness. Being yourself, being authentically you. Okay. So keep going, keep fighting for this. Listen, it's hard. You might be in the weeds, but this is so worth it. All right. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Happy Friday. Happy weekend. My DMs are always open. You know, I am an open book and I'm happy to share my experience with any of you. And if I can help just one of you live a fuller life, then I'm doing my job. All right, guys. Bye.